Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Have you ever been given an apology that somehow just didn't feel right? I'm going to guess you have. I think that we've all been on the receiving end of that apology, or we have witnessed that apology, or we have given that apology. In today's episode, this is kicking off the, it feels like it's always holiday season, especially if you're ever in a Dollarama. There's something that we should be buying tinsel for. But anyhow, there's a lot of talk about gifts right now, a lot of talk about what you can give and giving and receiving. I'm going to talk about the gift of apologies and specifically what that means, like not just in this sweet way of like, oh, isn't it nice if you gave someone an apology? This is a little more of like a uncomfortable episode, I'm going to say, or one that gives you great relief, because we've all been on the receiving end and the giving end. And the truth is, you know, we're not really taught how to give a proper and a complete apology. And the apologies happen, of course, on every level, from like the most intimate relationships between two people. And then there's the public apologies, the corporate apologies, politicians' apologies. Some of them really land, some of them don't. Some of them are incomplete. And, you know, we hear it all the time. This is how it's supposed to go. Like, someone's supposed to say they're sorry, and then you're supposed to say, I forgive you, right? And we're taught this as kids, or we tell our kids to do it too. Like, Aunt Judy just gave you this great doll or whatever, this hideous toy. Say thank you. So even if, you know, I know that it's important, obviously, to teach children gratitude in this exchange. But sometimes they'll be saying thank you for things that they don't really want. And they can tell that their apology is, you know, a little performative. And I think that we just kind of grow up from there, but we don't really talk about what are the pieces of an apology? What goes beyond that? What about, you know, when you don't really want to apologize? What makes it sincere? So that is what today's episode is all about. The important thing to note about gifts and how, you know, looking at apologies as gifts, like, we don't have to even receive them. So, listener, in today's episode, I'm just going to be full of some tough love mirrors, perhaps, depending on what you've been doing with your apologies, and also some permission. You don't have to say thanks to Aunt Judy or whoever. You don't have to accept apologies. It's not a gift that you're forced to take on. And that's uncomfortable. We don't have to forgive everyone who asks us. That could be uncomfortable. But also uncomfortable is that not everyone that we apologize to needs to forgive us, because this is not an organized gift exchange. There's so much more to it than that. And that might be really painful to know that you have done something to cause harm and that you have apologized and that it's still up to that person if they want to accept it or not. They don't owe you forgiveness. It's not a transaction. Right? So this is a gift, but it's a gift where assembly is required. It's not a gift that you just take out, unwrap, and it's like ready to go. You have to put this thing together. And if there are pieces missing, it won't be complete and it won't be a wholehearted apology. So if you've ever felt that feeling, that icky feeling, chances are there was a piece missing. It wasn't because you are a terrible, cold, and stubborn, unforgiving person. Maybe you are. But if you felt kind of weird and awkward about like, oh, like someone said thanks and you're like, it's okay, but you just don't feel right. You can trust that there was something intuitive going on in you, that there was a piece missing in that apology. I have a book all about apologies. It's a fabulous read on this topic. I think it's incredible that there's so much to say about apologies that this entire book is, that's all it is about, is apologies. It's called Effective Apology, and it's by John, Cador. Let's just call him John. Either way, it's a great, great book. Excellent, excellent content in this book if you're interested. So as the title suggests, it is a book entirely about apologies. I found it really fascinating. You know, he talks about why they matter, what they must include to be effective. He speaks about the personal and professional apologies, some really interesting case studies about successful and unsuccessful apologies made by companies when they did wrong, certain recalls that happened and how they handled the situation, how having a really beautiful, complete apology done well can actually do you more good than if you had never screwed up in the first place. I don't know how I feel about that, but I get it. You know, it provides this opportunity for some intimacy and some trust building, which is incredibly important in any relationship, whether you're working with someone or whether it's a personal or a family relationship. So it's a very simple and powerful book that I recommend, full of useful information, both for the giving and also for receiving apologies. I found it to be very informative and humbling when I first read it. So, John helps us out with what he has designed as the five R's that make an apology whole. If you love alliteration, and is that what it's called when everything starts with the same letter? I really dig it. Anyway, there's five R's that must be included for a truly effective apology. This is from the book Effective Apology. The very first R is recognition. So, you know, this is just acknowledging what specifically happened, even if it seems obvious. Naming it is important, right? Like, so if you can imagine someone's just like running past you, bumps you over, and you spill your coffee, and they're just like, sorry, like, might be less satisfying than someone who's saying like, oh, I'm sorry, I just bumped into you and made you spill your coffee, right? It is important to recognize what happened. The second R is responsibility. So this is, it might seem like it's the same thing, but it's not. So recognizing it is naming what happened specifically. Responsibility is to clearly acknowledge your part in what happened. So, you know, person running by knocked you over could just say, oh, wow, you got knocked over. The responsibility part is, I was running into you. I didn't watch where I was going. I bumped into you. I caused you to spill your coffee. It's taking ownership of your role in what happened. The third R is remorse. So once the offense and the responsibility have been clearly stated, here's what happened. This is where you would express your remorse or your regret. And this is where the words I'm sorry come in. See, it doesn't start there. You have to start with recognizing it. You have to start with taking responsibility. And then comes the like, wow, I am sorry. You know, that must have been awful when you spilled your coffee. You know, you're obviously on your way to somewhere important. The coffee was really hot. That was really startling. That might have caused you physical harm. I am so sorry for that. Restitution is the fourth R, making things right and restoring the relationship. So, you know, this might mean paying for the coat that someone spilled coffee all over, if they can't get the stain out. or perhaps if you stood someone up, if you didn't make an appointment or you just whatever, like sending movie passes to make up for the missed evening where you stood someone up. So it's some kind of offering of making things right, something that's appropriate to the relationship. If it's a company, you know, it's offering, you know, a free replacement or some kind of other thing that's going to make up for it. And the last R is simply repetition, which, you know, I think could be easy to overlook, but it's basically reassurance that this will not happen again, that you know all the parts of what's happening. You know what happened. You know what you're responsible for. You are sorry. Here's how you're making up for it. And the repetition is just reaffirming that this relationship matters and that you will honor that with your actions in the future. This will not happen again. I will look where I'm going before I run to catch a train or whatever that person was doing. And that's it. Those are the five pieces. So according to John Cador, who wrote Effective Apology, again, excellent book. So when you think of the apologies that were given to you, but that just didn't feel right, can you now name which one or possibly more of the five R's that were missing? What was missing? This is why the "I'm sorry you feel that way" apology, which I would argue is not an apology, it leaves many people feeling annoyed and resentful. I know this is a hard thing to hear. It feels like, like you're being dismissed, right? And what's important to note here is that even though the words "I'm sorry" are being used, it might not be intended as an apology. Like, you might think you deserve an apology, and the other person might not think that you do. They might just sincerely be sorry that you feel that way, and that's the end of it, right? So, like, that just might be true for them. And they might not see the situation the same way that you do. So just because you're upset, that doesn't always mean that someone else is responsible, right? Your feelings are your responsibility, and obviously every situation is more complicated than that. But it's also respectfully, to not take on other people's feelings, right? Like, if someone doesn't feel responsible for what happened, they're not going to take ownership of that. That might be uncomfortable and require some more conversations, but that just might be the truth. Basically, what that means is just because the word "sorry" is there, that doesn't necessarily mean it's an apology. So while you're thinking about all the ways that you've been wronged in apology land, which of the five R's do you tend to leave out when you are giving an apology? Do you do all five of these R's? Do you take the time to do that? Which ones do you tend to go like, "Oh yeah, I cover that base"? Maybe you go straight for remorse, or straight to restitution, being like, "Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this." But, you know, you leave all the other parts out. Just take a look at yourself. What do you tend to leave out? Because we all take turns. We all take turns on both sides, giving and receiving. And the hard truth here is that we just might not always agree about what happened and what's responsible. All that we can do is our best. We can look to ourselves and we can ask for the answers. What does our heart say? What does our intuition say? Do we feel like we were responsible for what happened? Can we acknowledge, can we humble ourselves enough to acknowledge that we may have been the cause of someone's pain? What parts are you willing to own, or that you feel is yours to own? You don't have to own all of it, but what parts are yours to own? What do you want to say you're sorry for? I think this part of the process, the self-loving part, is just so that you can really listen, you know, because this is really about integrity. For me, you know, self-love is about so many things. A huge part of that is integrity and being in harmony with yourself, knowing yourself, treating yourself well, being in harmony with your energy, knowing when you can be truly generous. Because to give when you don't have, I think that this gets championed a lot, but it's also a strange energetic burden that we can be placing on other people if we go into debt to give someone a gift. It's not generous if you don't have it, right? So you have to give to yourself first, be generous with yourself first so that you have that abundance to give. And I think that another part of integrity is just owning, knowing what parts that we want to own of how we impact each other, having the courage to speak to it, having the courage to apologize and to take action to heal and build trust in relationships and with ourselves. I think it all needs to start with you. So take that time and be really compassionate when you look at yourself and ask, what is it that I need to apologize for, if anything? Okay. There are two very important things that I learned about apologies that I want to share with you. In case you're thinking of wrapping one up for someone special over the holidays and getting out those scissors and the curly ribbon, just think about this for a second. The first thing is, an apology is a gift, and it should be treated as such, meaning you are not owed forgiveness if you offer an apology, and you are not even owed comfort. In fact, when you break down and cry while making an apology, and you want to hug somebody while you're making an apology because you are so very, very sorry and you are so very emotional about what you've done, you are effectively not apologizing, but you are just hurting that person again because you're asking them to support you when they're the ones who were hurt in the first place. And this feels incredibly gross. Okay? Now, I've done this, so I know how gross it feels. I've been on the giving and receiving of the emotional, weird, premature hug during an apology. It's a really awful feeling, so much so that I actually apologized again for the previous apology because I realized that I was just making it about me. And that this person on who I had hurt initially, just had no business comforting me, and just did not deserve that nonsense from me at all. I was out of control. I was not being mindful. And also, see, you got to forgive yourself here because, it can be really, it was a horrible feeling to realize that I had done that. It was very embarrassing. And, you just got to forgive yourself so that you can go back, so that you can take a breath, so that you can see what do you need to do so that you can give that gift in a way where it's actually a gift to the person, where you can focus, right? Like, so maybe I wasn't ready to apologize in that moment, clearly. So I had some work to do. I had some journaling to do, some sound journaling, working it out with someone else, whatever. Okay, so that's number one. Apology is a gift. It should be treated as such. And number two, apologies are not the time for excuses. They're just not. So sure, I imagine if you've done something awful and you've done something hurtful, I know that you're a good person. You know that you're a good person. There were probably a lot of reasons why you were late that time, or reasons why you weren't thinking and you said that horrible thing, or you brought up that issue that you weren't supposed to bring up. And maybe there were things that were entirely out of your control. And maybe there are so many things you want to explain. Like, what if you were unfaithful? Okay, that doesn't just happen on a whim. And, a lot of times when we stray in relationships and we go outside of the negotiated, if we have some kind of container, a monogamous or monogamish container, and we stray from it, it often doesn't just happen just out of nowhere, right? It's like there's lots of unmet needs. There's lots of layers upon layers that push us into doing that. It could just be a spontaneous thing, but obviously it's more complicated than that. And if you're talking and apologizing for something of that nature, I think that probably you would want to explain what happened so that you can be understood, so that it wasn't just like, I did this hurtful thing, boom. You want them to know that you still love them. You want them to know all kinds of things. But later, because this is not the time. The apology is all about the receiver, period. That's it, okay? If you can't get that, there are more conversations to come, but like, you need to be clear about that to make this effective. Because in the moment of apology, any gift, like any excuse that you give, even if it's a valid one, I wouldn't even say an excuse, even any explanation that you give, if you give it too soon, even a valid one, it's going to sound like a reason why it was okay to hurt that person that you are apologizing to. You know, that person running by and shoved you and the coffee's all over the place. If they run in and start with, oh, like, I didn't get any sleep last night and I'm really stressed out and I got to get on this, catch a plane or whatever. It's just like, none of that matters when your thigh is on fire and your awesome sweater is totally stained and ruined and your nervous system is shot because you just got like shoved over on a train platform. Like, none of that matters yet. You might be open to hearing that after the apology, right? But again, it's all about the timing. This is not the time for excuses. It's time to give the gift. So if apology is a gift, help make it easy for them to receive it. Okay, so it's like, if you're giving them these excuses and reasons, it's like handing someone a beautiful box and telling them it's a gift, but then they try to take it and you're just clutching onto it and won't let go. It's just confusing. It's confusing. Give them the gift, let it land. Then you can have more conversations if that's appropriate, if both people want to. Those are the two really important guiding points that were humbling and important for me to learn around the time that I found that book. You know, apologies, they're so important. Have you received one that did land, that you really needed? Do you remember how that felt? Apologies help us feel seen. Apologies, a wholehearted, complete apology, it can help us build trust. It can help us rebuild trust. So one day I was on Facebook and I got a direct message from someone completely out of the blue who was apologizing to me for events that happened 19 years ago. I had not heard from this person. We had not connected at all. And then out of nowhere, there's this apology. And what's so fascinating about this was I didn't even think I needed one. I wasn't spending those 19 years hanging on, going like, oh, I really needed that apology or that person owed me. I was at peace with how that relationship had played out. Yes, it had been heartbreaking and dramatic and painful and blah, 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 and wonderful and all these things. But it had also just passed, and I was at peace with how that had passed. And I really just didn't think I would ever be in touch with that person again. And that was okay with me. I just like chalked that experience up to the wild mess of hearts in their early 20s mixed with art school lust and shaken and stirred. It was like, you know, there's no shortage of beautiful bruises from those years, both on the giving and the receiving end. And I was fine with that. But when I received this apology, I felt the gift of these words. I was surprised at how it landed. It was, in hindsight, a complete apology. And that's why it felt so right. You know, I felt seen in the pain that I felt that 19 years ago. I felt heard in exactly the way that I needed to have been heard back then. And the younger me in her, you know, ripped jeans and tear-stained, paint-splattered tank tops and all that, that me felt respected. And any little self-doubts that had been born on that day all those years ago, they put down their chisels. They're like, yeah, that did hurt. Yeah, that wasn't called for. And yeah, I deserved better then. Yeah, I did. And there were the words saying exactly that. You deserved better. I'm sorry. Now, there wasn't a here's what I'm going to do to make it up to you, and here's what our relationship will look like, because not all relationships move forward from an apology. So that was complete enough. It was some well wishes, and that's it. And there was no ask. There was no ask for me to take care of this person or to even respond, right? This person wasn't looking for forgiveness. It was purely a gift. And I received it as such, and it was a wonderful gift. I've given many apologies over the years. Some have been beautifully wrapped in all five R's. Some have been horribly slapped together with the price tag still on. And I have forgiven myself as I learn and just do better next time. This is also a self-love practice. You know, relationships, this is where self-love rubber meets the road, right? Like going inside, thinking about ourselves, how we treat ourselves, we might get to a place where we're feeling peaceful and good. And then how are you with your partner? How are you with your family? How does your self-love sustain when you're interacting, when you're challenged, when you need an apology, when you owe an apology? It's true that it all starts with you, but then it expands outwards. It moves into the world and all of the other lovable, imperfect souls out there. You know, this is why, you know, self-love to me is like, it's the place where it all begins. It's not the place where it stays, but it's the place where it all begins. It starts with you, you know. And Brené Brown's research, she talks about the qualities of wholehearted, compassionate, courageous people. And, you know, she says that by far they are the most boundaried people. They have the most firm, solid boundaries. I love that. It resonates so much with me. And I also get her surprise that it, like, maybe we're a little surprised that they're not just more like, oh, they're just giving all the time. It's like, no, they have the strongest boundaries. They have integrity. They're living with integrity. And they believe that other people are doing the best that they can. I heard that most recently in a talk that she did with Tammy Simon from Sounds True. And she talked about how, like, that's a real tough one. This, like, do you believe that people are doing the best they can? There's certainly lots of examples that you could point to and be like, seriously, like, is this the best they can do? Right? But I believe it was her husband that said, you know, I don't know. Like, we'll never know. This is a question that we can't answer for everyone. But I think it was her husband that said, you know, I just know that I feel better when I choose to believe that's true, right? So even if you find that difficult to sit with, if you're in a situation where an apology may be coming your way, you feel like you are owed one, just try that idea on. You don't have to believe that everyone's doing the best they can, but ask, what if they are? What if everyone is just doing the best they can? Would it be easier to apologize? Would it be easier to forgive? Is there someone that you want to give the gift of apology to? If so, let this be that serendipitous nudge to your heart. You know, maybe just a baby step, maybe simply draft the apology, just write it out, practice using the five R's. You can start there. I would love to hear how it goes. You can always email me, Danette@radicalcreativesanctuary.com. And you don't, I just want to say this again too, that if someone does apologize to you, you don't have to forgive them. You can accept the apology without forgiveness. You don't have to then go along with what they're saying. You don't have to let them buy you movie passes and then, you know, keep having a friendship or whatever it is. You get to choose, and you also get to choose time. Someone can apologize to you. You can be like, okay, I'm going to take some time. You're allowed that time. You're allowed time to process things. So just because someone comes and gives it to you, know that you don't have to receive it. You can listen. You can think about it. And you can decide that it's not something that you want to pursue. It's important to know that you can do that, and it's important to know that others can too. We're all here making choices. What's lovely about this is that when we're being honest and when we're choosing, consciously choosing our relationships, then we know that we're in it with someone who's choosing us back. Then we know that we're in it with somebody who respects us, is willing to do the things that, you know, are going to like rebuild the trust. I think that's important. You know, I think if someone doesn't really accept your apology, or if you don't really accept theirs, you're basically like just going forward without a really important element in that relationship. It's not going to feel good for either of you. So, also important to note, you may have noticed this, not everyone goes to the library to take out books on effective apologies, which is why you have probably been given some really crappy and even damaging apologies in the past, right? So assuming that everyone's doing the best that they can, just note that not everybody learns this. Not everybody listens to podcasts about self-love and apologies. And we're certainly just not taught this very much, right? So one way that you can help things out is, why not share this episode and help spread some healthy apology architecture? Because goodness knows we could all use more of that. I do recommend, if you love this topic, Effective Apology by John Kador. I have no idea how to say his name. Kador. It's a fabulous book. You can find it at, I'm sure, your local libraries or any other place that you consume books. Also, if this podcast sounds familiar to you, it is because you are a longtime subscriber of mine, because this was my Christmas newsletter of 2015. It was the champion of last minute gifts, apologies. So, hey, long-term subscribers, it's nice to still have you here and connected. And also, if this is your first time hearing this from me, and you want even more of these soft shoulder vibes, helpful self-love tips and treats from me, plus early access to upcoming offerings, then head on over to radicalcreativesanctuary.com and subscribe to my newsletter if you're not already subscribed. I've got some wonderful things stirring in my heart for 2019, and I look forward to sharing them with you. I love being your favorite source of self-love support. So above all else, remember this, dear listener, you are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. Take good care, and we'll talk soon.